Good afternoon or good morning, good evening, depending on whatever time that you're hearing this podcast. This is your wealth wizard, Everett Marshall. Some know me as Elder E, others know me as Elder Everett. Coming to you from the great city of Houston, Texas. I am your wealth wizard, along with Kimberly Willis. We are over the stewardship ministry at the Mouth of God Ministries. And I just want to deal with some principles today that's going to challenge you, empower you. We're going to dig off into the Word of God and see what He has to say about the subject today. The subject today is righteousness and riches, first cousins. I've come to find out that your level of righteousness or your level of riches can definitely be attributed to your level of righteousness. The closer you get to God, the more things He starts cutting off of you, the more He starts setting you apart, it allows Him to add kingdom wealth, kingdom ideas, and kingdom finances unto your life until you wake up one day and you won't be that same person that you were 5-10 years ago. You won't have a poverty mindset. Your mind will be transformed. Your pocketbooks will be transformed. Your checking account shall be transformed. Your investments will begin to multiply and increase. You'll see yourself loving finances, loving money, but not in a covetous way, but in a way that we know that money is a relationship. You'll be able to, you'll begin to speak good things to money, huh? You'll be able to do the right things to your money. Money won't cause you to be a slave. You won't be working inordinate amounts of overtime trying to chase the buck and chase the paycheck. Money will begin to be attracted to you. And the first person, because we always want to go back to the Bible to match up, you know, some of the words that we're speaking. So if we go to the Old Testament and we look at a man of God whose name was Job, we know that Job went through great suffering, trials, and tribulations in his life. But let's look at the lifestyle of Job prior to him going through suffering. The Bible says that he was the richest and the greatest man in the East of that time. Job had cattle, donkeys, he had gold, he had silver, he had a big family, he had servants. He definitely had real estate. He had lands. He was the richest man at that time. Also, the Bible declares that Job was a blameless man. And that simply means that you could find no fault in Job, right? So men would look to Job as the hero in the community. Men looked at Job because he had answers from God. Men looked at Job's lifestyle because he was devout. He was dedicated to God. And we see that because of his righteous lifestyle, God added riches and wealth to him daily, even after his period of suffering and losing things, losing houses, losing family, losing health, health declining. We see that God gave Job double for his trouble. Also, let's look at some of the forefathers of the faith. Look at faithful Abraham. We always talk about Abraham and him taking Isaac up to Mount Moriah to be slain, and there being a ram in the bush and the angel stopping him and God rewarding him for his faith. But if you look at Abraham's life, as he was a righteous man, a holy man, a blameless man, as he continued to walk with God, living righteously, not doing evil, training his household up into the standards of God, God always added wealth, riches, gold, silver, finances, and cattle, lands to his life. God made him a great nation. And that same blessing was brought on to his wife, Sarai. That same blessing came upon his household. Abraham was a tither before the law was given to Moses. As he tithed, as he lived righteously, we see that that same blessing was upon Isaac. That same blessing was upon Jacob. That same blessing was upon Joseph. And it doesn't stop here. The blessing of Abraham is for every believer in the body of Christ, even today. But you have to receive it. You have to accept it by faith. begin to let God cut off some things in your life. So let's look at how this cutoff process takes place. Let's look at some of the things that hold us back from living righteous and from receiving all that God has for us. We're going to turn to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, Matthew 6. And we're going to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what he has to say about it. So as you turn there, let's get to Matthew 6 and we'll go to verse 25. And Jesus says, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So Jesus here makes a distinction between us as believers worshiping God or worshiping the money God. So if you worship something, that means that you are a slave to it. Use no need to worship money. God is money. All money flows from the bosom of God. Worship God, money will follow. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So what Jesus is saying here, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry if there's going to be food on your table. Don't worry if there's going to be clothes on your back or shoes on your feet. Don't worry about your children. God is going to take care of them. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Why worry about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So Jesus here gives us clear-cut examples from the animal kingdom, clear-cut examples from nature. God takes care of nature. God takes care of plants. God feeds his creation. God feeds his animals. So if God, being the faithful creator that he is, takes care of nature, how much more would he not take care of mankind? How much more would he not take care of his children, the believers in Christ? And then verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So that's the first principle here in verse 30. We don't want to walk in little faith. Little faith doubts the provision of God. Little faith believes that God fed me and took care of me last week, but God will forget about me this week. Little faith will cause you to doubt the promises of God. So we don't want to walk in little faith. We want to walk in big faith. And we're going to see how to walk in big faith. Verse 31, therefore, take no thought. Here again, we see that same principle. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? One thing we don't want to do, that take no thought means don't reason and dwell upon what tomorrow holds. Because when you begin to reason and question and doubt if God's going to provide for you tomorrow, it'll cause you to be stifled in your faith. And we don't want stifled faith in 2021. Let me tell you something. A wealth transfer is about to happen for the body of Christ, but it's only going to happen for those who are willing to walk in big faith, who are going to believe and not doubt the promises of God in this season. We got out of 21 unscathed. You might have lost some things, but I declare today that God is going to give you double for your trouble. That which you went through in 2020, God is going to cause restoration to your health, restoration to your finances, restoration to your business, to your investments, restoration to every relationship that needs to be mended. God is going to do it, but we have to walk in big faith. Say big faith. Verse 32, For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So we see two mighty principles here. It is the will for the heathen, the Gentile, the unbeliever, to constantly strive and chase for provision, to worry about provision, to not be able to sleep at night worrying about provision, not believing in God, not knowing what tomorrow will hold, not knowing if bills will be paid tomorrow. That's their purpose, not ours. Also, God already knows ahead of time that you have need of some things. He knows you need transportation. He knows you need a roof over your head. He knows you need food in your refrigerator. He knows your bills have to be paid. He knows you need a certain amount of finances. Therefore, you know, all your purposes, dreams, and your visions can come to pass. He knows these things. But we have to believe by faith that those things will show up as we continue in our days. And verse number 33, one of those most popular scriptures that we always like to quote, it says, but seek ye first, not second, not third, fourth, or fifth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing we see, that God's kingdom has to be established, first of all, in our hearts. And what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? Well, God is the king of his kingdom. You should be seeking God in your consecration, seeking his thoughts, seeking him in his word, seeking to be transformed and renewed in your mind. God will do it. Seeking to fulfill the Great Commission, seeking to fulfill his will for your life, not your natural personal ambitions. God wants to permeate your thoughts, permeate your ambitions, permeate your values, shape and mold them to where they turn to him. And look what happens. As you seek his righteousness, which is his right way of living, all these things shall be added unto you. All good things will be added unto you if you will simply seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Now, in practicality, it sounds simple, but we know that lack of faith, fear, worrying about tomorrow, listening to the news clippings, trying to keep up with your neighbors, right? That'll cause us to seek things prior to seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But we're reversing our value systems this day. As you listen to this podcast, let it saturate your mind. We're reversing every curse of poverty, every curse of wrong thinking, whatever has held you back in the past. We reverse it right now. Make it your duty. Make it a priority to seek God first, his kingdom, his right way of living, not refusing to compromise in your lifestyle, and watch him add everything that you need and desire to your life. And finally, verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The time is now for you to strike that iron. Now is the time for you to put God's vision, your dreams on the table, to begin to write those things out, to begin to walk in the favor of God, in overcoming power, in victory. Write that book. Start that business. Teach your children the word of God. Teach your children about financial stewardship. And by all means, you walk in discipline and stewardship in this season so they can see you doing those things. I thank you for tuning in to this podcast today. Once again, my name is Everett Marshall, also known as Elder Everett, but I go by the Wealth Wizard. Thank you for tuning in. Everyone have a blessed and prosperous today. I say shalom, via agape, peace, and love. Thank you.